When we have something that we don't understand, something that's not clear to us, what's our natural reaction? How do we usually react in those situations? Do we try to understand? Do we try to seek understanding? Do we search out answers for our questions, our confusion? Now, that's obviously the ideal situation. That's obviously the best thing we can do, that if we see something that we don't understand, we try to figure it out. We try to reason it out. But we don't often do that. It's kind of infrequent, I think, sometimes that we do that. We have other reactions that can crop up. Sometimes we can try to ignore it. We go, well, I don't understand that, so I'm just not going to worry about it. It's not my problem. Not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm just not going to deal with it. You know, we give a kind of maybe a quick answer and just kind of move on. It's like, whatever. This was King Ahaz in the first reading. He didn't understand why Isaiah wanted him to ask God for a sign. You know, of course, other places in the scriptures, that's discouraged. But this time, Isaiah is saying, do this. And he says, I will not tempt the Lord. He's trying to sound pious. You know, oh, I won't tempt the Lord by doing that. What he's really saying is, I don't understand what you're asking me for here, and I don't want to be put in this situation. A third reaction we can have is to get upset and disagree. Well, I don't understand why that's being done, and I'm going to pound the pulpit as I tell you why I don't understand what's going on here. We can disagree with it. Now, that's kind of a natural reaction. We don't want to look foolish by saying, well, I don't really understand this. I don't know what's going on, and I don't understand what's going on. And so we get upset angry and stomp our feet and pound our fist and all these things to cover up the fact we really don't understand what's going on. If you want to see proof of this reaction, just turn on any of the news channels in the evening when they have their opinion page or opinion shows. Most of those are pretty much people that don't know what's going on, but they're sure going to let you know that they don't know what's going on. Figure that one out. And they get paid a lot of money for it, too. That's the worst part. We all have things that we don't understand. There are things in our lives that we don't understand. Whether it is things in nature, things in our politics, things in our country, things in our community, things in our families, especially in the spiritual life. We all have things that we do not understand. Things that we, for whatever reason, cannot grasp. Whether it is things like teachings of the church. We might disagree with the teaching of the church, not so much because we understand it and disagree, but because we don't understand it. And we disagree with what we think it is. Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say that there weren't more than 10 people in the world who disagree with what the church teaches, but there are millions of people who disagree with what they think the church teaches. There's a lot of misunderstanding about church teaching, about what it means and why. And I think a lot of times when we have a disagreement with church teaching, it's because we haven't quite dug into it and understand it and how it fits into the whole of church teaching. We don't understand revealed truths. That's why they were revealed to us by God, because we cannot fully comprehend. You know, I always use the example of the Trinity. Much ink has been spilled on the Trinity. Many errors have come about that has helped us better understand the Trinity. But we do not completely comprehend. How can you have one God that's three persons united, indivisible, but distinct? How can we have that? We can't understand it. We try to use analogies, and they always fall flat. So we have to take it on faith, these revealed truths. And we might not understand God's will for our lives. What does God want us to do? We haven't gone through that discernment process to seek it. And even if we have gone through the discernment process, there's still a lot of question. You know, I look at my life as a priest, my life as a disciple. There's still a lot of questions where God wants me to go forward. And there are things that happen that I kind of go, okay, how did this follow? How did this happen? I don't get it. You know, we all have those areas in our lives. And as disciples, we are called, when we encounter these things that we don't understand, as St. Joseph did. Look at this situation. He didn't understand how his wife could be pregnant. They were married. She hadn't moved in. As I understand it, Jewish custom at the time was they would be espoused, they would be married, but then it would be some time before the wife would move into the husband's house. The husband would have some time to prepare the house for them. That's as I understand it. And they were in that situation. All of a sudden, she shows up pregnant, and he knew he's not the father. They hadn't done the act that causes that. So how could she be pregnant? He didn't understand. And you read between the lines, he naturally assumed that she had an affair against him, that she went out and slept with someone else, you know, which would be heartbreaking. And so he sought to divorce her. He sought to put her away quietly, as some scripture translations say. Just, you know, be respectful. I mean, he wasn't being selfish. He wasn't doing things to make himself look good. But he was just going to put her away quietly and go on with life. But he was brought to understanding through the angel. The angel was able to reveal to him that this wasn't an affair. This wasn't something illicit. This was a miracle. That she was the mother of the Son of God. She was to be the mother of the Messiah. She was the mother of the Messiah. And so St. Joseph, receiving that understanding, took her into his home and became the foster father, the earthly father of our Lord. That's the reaction we need to have, is if we don't understand something, is not to react selfishly, not to react by our own, how we want to naturally. I'm going to reject it because I don't understand it. You know, we need to be obedient to God and to seek that understanding. And even if we don't receive that understanding, to be obedient to God in his will. So when we encounter things in the church, teachings and so on, that we don't understand, we need to seek obedience. We need to say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. I might not even agree with this. But your will be done. Your commands be done. Your teachings be done. Not mine. And that's a very difficult thing to say. It's very difficult to have that humility to say, you know what? I disagree with this. I think this is wrong. But you know what? You're God. I'm not. This is your church, your will, not mine. And that's a very difficult thing to do. This is when discipleship is the most difficult and painful. When we hit those walls, we hit those things that we don't understand, and we have to say, okay, I put it in your hands. I trust you. Now, when we say this, we're not left alone. God does not leave us alone when we say that. He rewards us for that. He will give us his grace. He will give us his assistance, his help, his comfort in those times. It doesn't mean that we're going to completely understand it, but he will give us the grace of comfort because he is with us. He is with us always. In fact, the name Emmanuel, God is with us. That is a name for our Lord, Emmanuel. God is with us. He is with us. He is here. Jesus truly is God who is with us. And he is with us, as St. Paul says, who are united, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That those of us who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, he is with us. We are united with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit that we received at our baptism. This Holy Spirit that we received again at confirmation. This Holy Spirit that we receive every time we ask. He is with us. And he is there. He is there at those times of joy, those times of sorrow, those times of boredom, those times of excitement, those times of certainty and uncertainty, those times we understand, those times we don't understand. He's with us. He's with us always. And he is here especially when we gather in his name. When we gather here today, he is here with us to provide his graces and his comfort. When we have those times of anguish in our life and we reach out to them, he is there to respond in love, to give us that love, that mercy that we need. He is spiritually present to us every moment of our lives, even if we don't realize it. But there is a very special way that he is with us and is with us here now and is always with us every time we come to this church. And of course, that is with his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. He is really present here in a way that he is nowhere else in the world. He is truly here. He is as much here as we for us as we are here for each other. He is truly present. And there are those in the church, sadly, in the last few decades that have tried to minimize this, that have tried to make the community's gathering or the word or other ways that Jesus is present in the Mass more important than the Blessed Sacrament. And they've got that backwards. The Blessed Sacrament is the most important. The real presence of Christ is the most important way that he is here, because he is truly here. And this is why coming here for prayer before the tabernacle is so important. Even if our senses don't understand it, when we pray before the tabernacle, we are praying in the presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. He is here. And we need to be in his presence. We need to remember that he is present to us, especially here. And so when we run into those things that we don't understand, we need to remember his presence. We need to remember that he is here and to come to the church and spend before him and to speak to him and to listen to him and sometimes lay out our burdens to him and yell at him and complain and everything else we need to do before him. One privilege I will say I have as a priest is I can come in here when the church is empty and let him know what I think. And sometimes it's not nice. Let's just put it that way. Because when there's difficulties, we need to unburden ourselves. And we can do that before our Lord, here present in the tabernacle. And to come before him when those times of joy, to thank him for that. And to spend time in his presence just in silence, to be here with him in adoration. All of these things are so important. All of this prayer is so important to recognizing that he is here. He is present to us, and he wants us to come to him. He wants us to receive his grace, his love, his comfort. So when we do run into those things from God that we don't understand, we come to him. We come to him to seek his comfort and his grace. We might not have full understanding, but we have his assurance that he will help us through that. The questions we have might still remain, and the answers we receive might not be what we expect. But he is here for us, and he will give us the strength we need to be obedient to him. And so may we truly seek that comfort, that love that comes from our Lord, to have that obedience that he wishes to show, to help us with. Have that obedience that flows out of love for him, and to recognize his presence among us.